This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Summer is here, so this hour we'll be checking with Sally Brewster from Park Road Books, who has some suggestions for summer reading. But first, a place to read those books. The beach, and not 1, 2.5, or 3 hours away. A new beach that just opened on Memorial Day weekend on Lake Norman. It is a public beach in Ramsey Creek Park in Cornelius, and the first swimming beach to open in a Mecklenburg County park in almost 40 years. What took so long? Let's find out. Jim Garges is director of Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation. Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
He is in our Spirit Square studio with Bill Russell and Christy Churchill. Mr. Russell is president and CEO of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, and Christy Churchill is recreation planning project manager for Duke Energy. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
You're both very summery. You're in the seersucker and you have a little striped bow tie. I'm very happy to see you. Prior to the opening of Ramsey Creek Park Beach, that's going to take a while to get used to saying, I suppose. How did those who did not own property on Lake Norman access the lake? Or did they have access to a beach on the lake prior to this?
You want me to take this, Jim?
Sure.
Actually, if you didn't have access to lakefront property, or you didn't have a personal watercraft, or you didn't know somebody who did, Lake Norman was off limits to you, and it's our greatest liquid asset, something that we need to showcase, and we have the ability to showcase, and it was something that we needed to do. So I'm so glad that Mecklenburg County opened this new park.
How could it have been off limits all these years? That lake has been around forever. Why wasn't a public beach set aside originally at the very beginning?
Well, there used to be swimming off of Mecklenburg property years ago. Then there was a tragic drowning, and the county commissioners at that time decided not to allow people to access the water from county property.
Why the change of heart now, then?
Well, I think it was a matter of coming to the board, which we did, several years ago, and talking about access. And of course, it's tragic when you have these kinds of accidents that occur.
But well, we have boating accidents on Lake Norman every summer, and they don't close the lake to boats.
Well, again, I think that's the point. Of course, at that time, and of course, times are different now. And the other issue we had is if we're going to have a beach, a county beach, it's going to be guarded. So we're going to try to do everything we can, to prevent accidents and hopefully those don't occur.
When you say guarded, it's going to have lifeguards or something else is going on as well?
It's lifeguarded.
Not lifeguarded before 40 years ago?
No.
Okay.
No. And that's the difference, having been a beach guard and a, aquatic rat all of my life, I've got a lot of experience in those kinds of operations. And, again, things can always happen, but I think people need an opportunity to experience that type of recreation. And as Bill mentioned, we've got an outstanding asset here with Lake Norman and the entire lake system.
Well, the two of you are cited as being spearheads of this. You, Jim Garges, and you, Bill Russell. Jim, you recently took over. I don't know how long ago you took over.
It's been about 10 years.
10 years ago.
Time goes fast, Mike, man, I tell you.
But you came in wanting to do this. That's how quickly things move around here. 10 years ago, came in wanting to do this as director of County Park and Recreation, and now we're pushing the needle that way. And you too, Bill, wanted to do this. You've been advocating public beach for how long?
20 years.
20 actually. Years.
I was hired at the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce in 1996, and I'm originally from Rock Hill. And Rock Hill on Lake Wylie, we had a number of city-owned facilities that allowed public swimming. And when I arrived here, I couldn't believe that on our side of the county line, there was no public access. You actually had to send them on up to Troutman to Lake Norman State Park, formerly Duke Power State Park. So you were telling people if you wanted to swim at Lake Norman, you have to drive 20 miles on up the road.
So why Ramsey Creek Park? Why was that chosen as the site of the first public beach in 40 years?
Well, one of the important things is, and it's a good thing that Christie's here, is we have to work with Duke, Duke Power and a FERC permit to permit, these types of recreational opportunities to happen on the lake system. And they've always been very supportive of that, and Christy can talk about their other efforts. But, one of our first hurdles was to talk to them about how this beach could be run, how it could be operated, how it could be built, make sure that was in compliance with what Duke wanted to do. And so we did all of that planning and had a series of public meetings. So it's taken quite a while to get to the point where we were able to open it last Memorial Day weekend. But it's a good location. It's a great view. It's a beautiful park. It's one of, I think, one of the prettiest places on the entire Lake Norman system.
Mm. How did some homeowner not grab that up and buy it? Christy,
that's a good point.
Christy,
because Duke Energy's owned it.
That's good.
Christy is Christy Churchill. She's Recreation Planning Project Manager for Duke Energy. And Duke Energy, of course, for most people know this, but maybe you don't, operates and manages all the lakes that make up the lake system on the Catawba River, which were created to generate power. But also they have this obligation, because it's set forth in their operating charter, to operate them for flood control and for recreational purposes as well. Do you have an obligation as a part of that to allow shoreline access to the general public, though?
We provide a lot of shoreline access in terms of fishing opportunities and boating, walking trails, parks, camping, and then the beaches are a new part of it. And as we move forward into the next 20 years, we're going to be building about 12 more beaches along the system.
Are you given a lot of support within Duke Energy? Because Duke Energy's primary business is to generate power.
Correct.
It is not to run recreational
Correct.
Facilities. So are you given a lot of do they support you, I guess, is the question.
Yes, because providing public recreation is a compliance function of our federal license. So we have to do it. We have to provide the recreation
Darn
in order to generate the electricity. So we are definitely supported in this effort. So.
Okay. The area that is now Ramsey Creek Park Beach, what was it before? What did it look like before you went in and did what you did to make it a beach?
Well, I think the major change was, you know, bringing in the sand, having a gabion area in the water, you know, so we could contain the sand.
What is the gabion area?
A gabion is a wire basket full of rocks, basically, and you may see them along stream bank renovations and so forth. You do the same type of thing underwater, so you provide this barrier to kind of hold the sand that you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beach, you know, the turf area was turned into a beach. And then an accessible path was put down into that beach area. And then we fenced the area, so when it's not guarded, it's actually closed. But we also made a whole series of improvements to the entire park. It was on a septic system, and we brought sewer and water in, and that was huge. So that was a big benefit. All of the bathhouse was completely renovated. Cornelius Police is working out of another small building that we have up there now. We have an accessible fishing pier, and that's all being improved, and we've got some donations from a number of people, Tom Tillis and others, to make sure we've got an opportunity for people with challenges or for veterans to come up and fish. It's an absolutely beautiful area. Lots of mature trees out in the area. Got a dog park there for people, another set of restrooms. It's also, you know, one of our major boat ramps. You know, Blythe is a big one that we have in the system, and that's a really nice boat ramp. And Ramsey is another location where you can put in and put out for boat owners. So it's an active park even before the beach operation was put in. But it's stellar.
Where'd the sand come from? I'm just curious. Where'd you bring the sand in from?
I don't know what sand company we got it from. You know,
so you didn't go down to Myrtle Beach and just
dredge it? You just dug it out of some hole someplace.
How many other public sites does Duke operate? Do you operate any other public beaches or allow any other public beaches, or are they pretty much just boat ramps and fishing opportunities?
If you're talking about the Catawba watery chain, no. We there are other beaches that are on the chain that are operated by state parks, Lake James and Lake Norman.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Duke Energy, we don't have any right now. However, there are 12 planned.
Right. And we'll talk about that. Duke Energy says it works with its stakeholders to identify mm-hmm. and develop sites to meet the public's need for recreation. Who are the stakeholders?
Stakeholders are people such as all of the counties that border the lakes and rivers. Non-government agencies, other types of state agencies, Fish and Wildlife, North Carolina Wildlife, recreation departments, chambers. There's a wide range.
I know that Jim and Bill are instrumental in creating a beach. I don't know whether Ramsey Creek Park was always the target or whether that just came about, and that seemed like a good place to do it. But how did this particular site become the site?
well, at the park?
Yeah, I can answer a little bit of that. What we did is an assessment of all the county property that we had, and at the time with Christie's predecessor, Stedman Sugg, and looked at several areas that it would work. And Ramsey was the best location. There's a lot of different things that have to occur. There's the Duke allowing it, the permits and everything that's occur. You also have to have close access for people to use restrooms, so that becomes an issue. You have to have enough parking, the capacity to handle it. You know, Jaton is an area where they used to swim years ago, mm-hmm. but that park is very small. That beach area is very small, so it's difficult there. Lada, you know, Nature Preserve is another area they used to swim years ago, and even down at the end at McDowell Park, all the way at the end of the county, that was the first county park. But all of those particular areas have challenges to them if you're going to allow beach operations. So we collectively really picked Ramsey as the best location. I think it's worked out well.
Duke Energy recently signed a new licensing agreement, which allows Duke to operate these lakes for another 40 years. Previously, I think it was 50 years. And that plan, that inking, that agreement that you signed, allows for more public beaches to be developed. How many more, and is there a timeline for that development?
Duke Energy will be building 10 more beaches, and then we're working with York County and also Catawba County to build two others. And the timeline that we have is basically 20 years total. So by the end of 20 years, they'll all be built, but most of them will be within the first 5 to 15 years.
Why the thrust now to build these public beaches? What's driving that?
Really, it's the stakeholders and the communities that these beaches will be in. There's a lot of public outcry about needing more public recreation and more access to the water, and so we're trying to do a lot of these parks and things in the earlier stages of this license.
This is one of your thrusts. This is, Bill, this is one of the things that you have said for 20 years now, that this is, what do you call it, economic discrimination, to not have access, public access, to one of our biggest natural assets, which is Lake Norman, Lake Wylie, Lake Mountain Island Lake, and some of the other lakes in this system. Do other people see this? And you're the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and you're talking about economic discrimination. This is pretty amazing, actually.
Well, I think it really comes down to this. Again, if you knew people that had personal watercraft, you lived on the lake, you could utilize it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of folks who didn't have that access and didn't have those means. And Jim and I were just talking about it. For some of the families that came out Memorial Day weekend and have been out since, this is their first time to a beach, first time in our water. We have an annual event at the lake called Big Day at the Lake that partners with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And some of the families from single parents coming out and getting in Lake Norman, it's their first time in the water. And sometimes that's mind-blowing for us to think about that. But some of these folks, if this beach weren't accessible, they may not have a chance to go to the beach. So this is really important.
Peggy emails, they just took it away. Peggy emails, I just heard dog park. Did somebody mention dog parks?
There is.
Will dogs be allowed to swim?
No, dogs aren't allowed to swim, but you're allowed to
come. Why not? This is discrimination.
It is. That's what it is, and that's what it's going to be. Yeah, so. I'm sorry.
All right. You reminded me of Barney Fife right there. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about pent-up demand, because opening weekend demonstrated a severe pent-up demand for this beach, and we'll talk about that when we come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Dog discrimination. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Hendrick Automall, Concord Mills, committed to customer service, satisfaction, and bringing excellence to the car buying experience. Featuring 11 brands and over 3,000 vehicles at the Concord Mills location. Details at Hendrick Automall, ConcordMills.com. 18 months ago, this area set an ambitious goal to rid Mecklenburg County of chronic homelessness by the end of this year. And to that end, local officials and others tried to raise the millions of dollars needed to put hundreds of the most vulnerable of the homeless into housing. So, Charlotte's homeless population is actually shrinking, and advocates say that it's a sign we're on the right track. So we check into those efforts to end homelessness here when we get together on this program tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, voters cast their ballots in California and five other states in the last big primary date of the 2016 campaign. Analysis of results for Republicans and Democrats and what it all means for the general election campaign.
Join the conversation on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the brand new beach that opened on Memorial Day weekend at Ramsey Creek Park. Jim Garges is with us. He's director of Mecklenburg County Park and Rec. Bill Russell's the president and CEO of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce and a proponent of this. We'll find out why. Christy Churchill is the recreation planning project manager for Duke Energy. They, of course, operate the series of lakes on the Catawba that make up that chain of lakes that we have at our disposal. At least we thought we had them at our disposal and now actually have access to them at this park. The traffic jams that led to the park on Memorial Day, opening weekend for this beach, were significant, and lots of nearby residents were talking to the newspaper about traffic and coming through the neighborhood and parking issues in the neighborhood. Was that anticipated, or did it come as a big surprise to those of you who have been proponents of this? It shows real pent-up demand.
Well, it was anticipated. We met several times with the neighborhoods, and our staff, along with the Cornelius Police Department, put together a plan months before the opening of the beach to compensate and do everything we could for it. Part of that plan was the Nance Road light, which we're working to put in. We knew was not going to be on at that time to help control. So that intersection was manned by the police department. The intersection coming into the beach was also manned by the police department. We had our staff going through the neighborhood and all of the streets that were, you know, neighborhood streets that were adjacent to the beach. Those were closed to beach traffic, and we manned those and monitored that during the entire weekend, and we continue to do that on weekends.
Are residents happy that you?
Well, I think if you couldn't get one of the issues we had is if you're queued up on Nance Road, you couldn't get out as readily, or you couldn't get in back in. So we stopped traffic from blocking the intersection so you could get out. If you're queued up and you're waiting to get in, it's very dangerous to pull somebody out and get them in. But we're working on trying to make sure that's better. Monday was the big day, and the beach and park has a capacity like a lot of parks. Now, this is not unusual to close a park. Go to the National Park System.
Well, we had the fellows on from Crowder's Mountain State Park not too long ago last month, and they talked about how the national parks and the state parks are seeing record attendance, and occasionally they have to close Crowder's Mountain because there's no place left to park.
Right.
And it's too crowded with people.
Right, and so it's a combination of both, and so you manage that. So what we always told people is the capacity to park is managed by the number of parking spaces you have, and we also have to have parking spaces available for boat traffic. So we can't shut down the boat ramp at the expense of the beach. So we managed that well. I don't think we had one boat owner the entire Memorial Day weekend turned away. Mm-hmm. And so that's been good. I think the other thing to look at is, you know, I was up there last Saturday, for instance, non-holiday weekend, drove right up, no traffic on Nance Road, queued up to get in, pulled in, four or five cars ahead of me, took maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes to get up to the booth to get in. And parking spaces in there.
What do you anticipate it will be like on the 4th of July?
4th of July will be busy. Mm-hmm. Labor Day, it's hard to say, you know, because actually, you know, participation in swimming activities outdoor starts to tail off generally after July 4th. Mm. Now, we'll see how it goes, but if you went up there today, you'd pull right in and go right to the beach.
How deep's the water? Off the beach?
The deepest end, assuming you're at normal or higher pools, about 4.5 feet.
Now, that's the deepest?
Yeah,
really?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And How far out can you go into the lake? As far as you want, or is it roped off?
No, it's cordoned off. And so that was done for safety reasons. And the other thing I think that's important when you look at the beach itself, you look at the amount of water, the majority of people spend most of their time on land, not in the water.
Okay.
And the majority of people that have come up since we've opened up, stay for about 2 hours and leave. So they're coming in, coming out.
This beach is a half acre, if I'm not mistaken. Half acre. It will accommodate 500 swimmers. The water area accommodates that, or the beach accommodates 500
people? That's
the beach
within the gate.
And parking for 127 cars. So you're anticipating lots of carpools, but you can bike there or walk there, right, and get
in? Could. Yeah, I don't think we saw anybody come in by bike. You know, I would not advocate biking on Catawba or Nance Road personally. But yes, we had people, once it was closed, parked in some of the local businesses and walked in. And we were a little surprised about the distance that people walked. There's a lot of construction right now going on Nance Road. That was a little bit of a concern because the part of the sidewalk was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful with that. But we're going to treat every weekend going forward until we don't need it like it's a holiday weekend. So the police department will be there. Our staff will be there. We'll be working with the neighbors continually.
But the park is open right now. It's
yes,
open
sir.
7 days a
yes,
week
sir.
From what? From when to when?
Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Free access?
No. It's a car fee to get in by car. If you come in on foot, we don't charge you right now.
What's the car fee?
I think it's $5 a car. Is it three?
$3 for Mecklenburg County resident and $5
for non-resident.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of business, Bill Russell, you're the president and CEO of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. And as we've said several times on this program, you've advocated for 20 years for this park.
Absolutely.
Is there a business aspect to this as well, a business benefit to this as well?
Sure, absolutely. It does speak not only to our quality of life that we have this lake access, and certainly from the hospitality market, you know, the folks who are staying in the hotels, this gives them something else to do while they're here. I don't perceive somebody who's looking and staying in Kansas and coming here and saying, I'm going to go to the beach at Lake Norman. But while they're here, it gives them one more thing to do. But this really wasn't as for the commerce aspect as much as it was for the kids. And when we were out there Memorial Day weekend and you saw these kids, these 3, 4, 5-year-olds, sometimes it's their first time of being on a beach, grabbing their bucket with their sand, it really brought joy to our hearts. But absolutely, it's going to be a component impacting our business and commerce, particularly those hotels. There might be some folks coming that they'll stop at Jimmy John's or one of the restaurants on the way in. There might be somebody that decides to go buy Cashin's Quick Stop and fill up gas on the way out. Mm-hmm. So it will have an impact in terms of economic development.
You want to drop any other business names one more time?
That was good, Bill.
Yes.
Well done. Duke has identified other possible sites for beaches. How many on Lake Norman?
There will be 3 other beaches on Lake Norman.
And what about Mountain Island Lake?
Which on is Mountain Island, far? We've got one, and that one will be located at the Riverbend access area.
Talks to get this beach open, I understand, began in earnest, 3 or 4 years ago. Why does it take so long for a project like this to come to fruition?
Well, first off, let me go back and say we have the greatest respect and appreciation to Commissioner Karen Bentley, who is now no longer a Mecklenburg County Commissioner, but she led the charge. She really went to bat for us. And Senator Jeff Tart, who at the time was mayor of Cornelius and on the Parks and Rec Board, they worked in concert with Parks and Recreation and our current existing county commission. So, again, we also – 2007, 2008 is, I think, when we started looking at it. But we had a recession, and one of the first things to get hit in a recession in terms of a county budget is going to be the Parks and Rec budget.
Because this took about $430,000 to accomplish, is that right?
Yeah, we put some other –
came from bond money?
Yes, and we put some other deferred maintenance money into it as well. But Bill's exactly right. I mean, we probably would have had the beach about 3 years ago if we hadn't hit the recession.
Now, here's what I read about why it took so long, you needed county commission approval. Funding challenges were there to construct the beach and to hire lifeguards, and there had to be a plan designed to satisfy lawyers. What do you have to do to satisfy the lawyers?
I don't think there was any plan to satisfy lawyers. I mean, every time we do a project, there's regulatory requirements that you have to, you know, you have to be able to live by. Permitting is also an issue that people, you know, tend to forget about. But all these things, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And the key is to keep a sense of urgency. Make sure these agencies work well together and cooperate well together and keep your foot on the gas pedal. And that's what we did, and we had great cooperation between all the regulatory agencies, all the permitting agencies worked very well together. We had a good contractor. You know, we brought the project in on budget, on time. That was good. So, again, it's a process no matter what the project is. But, you know, I can tell you our county attorney, Marvin Bethune, is a legend. And he's done a wonderful job steering us through a variety of different projects.
We mentioned that swimming stopped at Mecklenburg County Public Parks 40 years ago because of drownings. And Bill writes, I happened to be at the McDowell Park the day of the drownings 40 years ago. Not only was the swimming area not guarded, but the two who drowned were not in the swimming area. They were wading along a nearby cove, which had an extremely slick and steep slope. I've always wondered, related to Mecklenburg's refusal to open swimming, what the reaction would be if Brunswick County, near the ocean, closed its beaches. Thanks for getting Ramsey open. Now how about five or six more similar parks? For a model, check the Detroit Metro Parks in the Brighton, Michigan area. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a model for you?
Well, I don't. You know, what I would say is Michigan, you know, the state of lakes, has a wonderful and outstanding beach system. Lake Michigan, you know, where I grew up. Tower Hill State Park. I mean, just absolutely wonderful. And so we're fortunate to have the kind of lake system we do, or you'd just have a river if it hadn't been what happened.
Yeah.
And so there's a, you know, we were talking about Lake James State Park. We've got some excellent examples of beaches right here close to home. And so what we're trying to do, and I know what Christie's trying to do, is get as many as we can, as big as they can be, as quick as we can. And I think everybody's marching in that direction. It's just a challenge for us in Mecklenburg County because of our shoreline to have more adequate swimming in Mecklenburg County. That's a challenge.
Ricky on Twitter writes, if there's space for more public access on Lake Norman, I'd say we should do it, but make sure to have a public meeting first. You've had plenty of public meetings.
We've had a lot. Every time we do a park project, we have at a minimum a series of three public meetings. We've had many more on this on Ramsey. We have another one Thursday night. To talk about concerns that neighbors might have, and that's great. We want to hear from them. You know, we want to be responsive to them.
Right.
And at any time that anybody's got a concern about the beach or any park operation, you know, they can simply call, write us an email, and we'll get right back to them.
Andrew writes, it seems strange to me that Duke Energy has control over the lakes, yet they refuse to improve water quality around their facilities. Are they doing anything to promote the quality and preservation of the surrounding areas, or is it solely about control of the reservoir for hydroelectric energy?
Water quality is actually a huge part of our licensing requirements, and we have a whole department at our company that focuses solely on water quality issues. It's definitely a focus.
Well, I would add to that too. Mecklenburg County, you know, we are buying land specifically around our tributary systems that go into Lake Wylie, or drinking water, to prevent this. You know, Collins Ford, all that land that we've purchased up Rural Hill, that's all about water protection and clarity as well as recreation.
There is a series of five-year plans, if I understand it, and I've seen a timetable that indicates Wittenberg access on Lake Hickory and Beatty's Ford access on Lake Norman scheduled in the first five-year plan. But you said, Christy, that it could take 8 to 10 years before the next beach opens. Why would that be?
Actually, we will be submitting a recreation management plan to FERC in November. And that plan, once it's approved, will trigger the construction of all these projects. So the problem is we don't know how long FERC will take to review and approve.
FERC?
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I mean, it's a long acronym there. But they can take however long they would like to review and approve that plan, the recreation management plan. And it outlines every single recreation site and access area, beach, campground that we will be building in the next 20 years. There's over 80 commitments.
So the clock starts on all these five-year plans
when they approve it and say yes. Yeah.
Okay. Because you've got you said 12 more beaches on the drawing board if that plan goes through.
Correct. But those beaches are only a small part of the recreation commitments that we have on the Catawba Watery Chain.
So Ramsey Creek Park opens every day at what time?
10:30.
Closes at what time?
7:30.
Lifeguards on duty all the time?
Absolutely.
Parking is $3 for county residents, $5 for non-county residents. Jim Garges, Director of Mecklenburg County Park and Rec. Bill Russell, President and CEO of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. Congratulations on your efforts and because they've come to fruition here. And Christy Churchill, Recreation Planning Project Manager at Duke Energy. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things people like to do at the beach, aside from swimming and sunning themselves, is to read. But you don't need a beach to enjoy summer reading. What you need is a good book. But what good book? Sally Brewster is an expert on that, and patrons of Park Road Books know that about her. Park Road Books is that rare store, a locally owned bookstore, where the people working there actually read the books they sell. And Sally is the owner. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So how's the book business doing?
Book business is vibrant and bright right now.
When we say book business, are we talking about the sales of books or are we talking about the artistic quality of those
books? I think all of the above. I think that publishing is branching out. We do graphic novels now. There's a lot of experimentation going on. It's very exciting.
As a reader, because you read everything.
I do.
How do you feel about graphic novels?
I like them. They're too quick for me. It's not a lot of bang for my buck, mm-hmm. and I am a word person more than a visual person as an artwork, but I do enjoy them. I do enjoy seeing stories being brought to life through graphic means. It's very exciting.
How are the people that you're seeing walk through your store? How have they changed over the years? Have they gotten younger, older? Are they looking for different things than they were 10 years ago?
It's really branched open. And I have to thank J.K. Rowling, first of all, because she really brought the love of reading back to children and adults. And now we see everybody from toddlers up to 90-year-olds. And it's just wonderful to see every section of the store just being browsed, the art, the gardening, fiction, nonfiction, history, biography. It's wonderful.
I mean, we live in such a digital, visual world now. We have access on all of our devices to things that used to only be available to us in movie theaters and if we could sit down in front of a television. So how do you explain the enduring popularity of books where your mind actually has to do some work?
It really does have to do work. There's something about having a book in your hand, the smell, the feel of the pages. Your mind is in tune with, you know, that book. And I know I read a passage and it was about a third of the way through. And there's just something, you know, as I tell people, when you look up at your bookshelf and you see a certain book and you say, I remember I was in Boone, North Carolina when I was reading that book and I had the best weekend and it just tips into other memories, you know. It's just such a wonderful experience and we see that in the bookstore every day.
I mean, I know you sell audiobooks and I think you sell electronic books as well for Kindles and things like that, but are people pretty much still buying the bound paper books?
They are still buying bound paper books. We have a lot of customers that have e-readers and they still buy bound books.
When we come back, we're going to talk about at least 7 books that are already out and perhaps 3 more that are out later this summer that you are suggesting people might want to pick up and read this summer. Sally Brewster is with us from Park Road Books and we'll do that when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Birdhouse on the Greenway, celebrating fathers with gift selections of squirrel-proof bird feeders, binoculars, and bird guides. In Piper Glen at 6416 Ray Road, next to Trader Joe's, birdhouseonthegreenway.com. And the North Carolina Zoo, presenting the zoo's outdoor concert in Asheboro, June 25th. Attendees will enjoy North Carolina blues and rock and roll bands in the outdoor African amphitheater. Information at nczoo.org. Well, voters cast their ballots in California and 5 other states in the last big primary date of the 2016 campaign. And on the Diane Rehm Show, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock, analysis of results for the Republicans and Democrats and what it all means for the general election campaign, which is just about to get underway. Will it ever end?
Hi, this is Ari Shapiro in Washington, D.C.
And this is Kelly McEvers in Culver City, California.
And people listening to the show might not know that in front of each of us, there is a red phone.
Kind of like that phone that must be in the president's office, right?
Except this is so that in the middle of the show, when news breaks, Kelly and I can talk about how we can give you the most relevant of the moment show anywhere.
Are you sure it's only for when news breaks?
Okay, sometimes it's also for gossip. Join us every afternoon on All Things Considered.
From 4 to 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Sally Brewster's with us from Park Road Books with some suggestions for summertime reading. Is there a difference between summertime reading and reading any other time of the year?
Not to me. I just think you have a little bit more time to do it.
Okay. I don't know if the books that you have given us are in any particular order. And by the way, all the books that we're going to be talking about will be on our website, so you don't have to take copious notes as we go through this conversation. Well, you could if you wanted to, but you can go to wfae.org/charlottetalks and you can find out what we've been talking about. Let's start with, are they in any particular order?
No.
Okay, then let's start with Before the Fall by Noah Hawley. It came out in March, but it starts on a foggy August night when a private plane flying from Martha's Vineyard to New York City crashes into the ocean minutes after takeoff, killing 9 of the 11 on board. I know it's fiction, but it reminds me of the John F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, Noah Hawley is an expert at tapping into everything in what's going on in our culture. And he just nabs it with this book. You have a 40-year-old that survives the crash and manages to swim 8 hours with a 4-year-old, towing a 4-year-old back to New York. And the book is just amazing. Noah Hawley, he is involved with the Fargo TV series.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he's very visual. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even – you forget about the what made the plane crash because you're so involved with the story of these people that are on the plane.
Is the book primarily about the 8 hours spent in the water?
No. Okay. I mean, that's like even a half a chapter. Most of it is he goes back and he looks at the people that are on the plane. And the secrets they might have had are hiding from a TV investigative reporter who will do anything to prove what he thinks is the truth. Mm-hmm.
So conspiracy theory.
Oh, absolutely.
Is this a thriller in your mind? Because it's described as a pulse-pounding story grounded in humanity. I'm not sure who wrote that, but that's how it's described.
Would it's a thriller. That? It is a page-turner of a thriller. If you like Mary Higgins Clark, you'll like it. If you like James Patterson, you will like it. If you like quality fiction, you're going to like it. I mean, it's just one of those books that you cannot put down.
Wow. Modern Lovers by Emma Straub is next on your list. This is the story of four college friends who are all a part of a band while in college at Oberlin, and now they're in their 40s with their own families and their own worries.
They are, and I love Emma Straub. She is the daughter of Peter Straub, who is a novelist in the horror genre, and so she is writing as far away from that as she possibly can. This is about relationships, and it's just she is funny, she's delightful. You know, she follows this group of friends through their 20s to their 40s when they're dealing with their own children, having a relationship. And she makes these people come to light. And you just laugh out loud. It's funny. It's situational. It reminds you that, you know, time is going on, but things still stay the same. You know, once a musician, always a musician. So it speaks of that we change, but we don't change. We're still those people at heart. And she writes just wonderfully. And any of her books are a great read for the beach or pool.
Is this a coming to terms with middle age story as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have a guru in there.
It's the big chill of the Oberlin music set.
Exactly. Exactly.
The next book is a sequel to a 1993 book, which was made into a movie called Nobody's Fool.
Great movie.
This time the title is Everybody's Fool by Richard Russo. And although it's been more than 10 years since the last book, the story in this book is set 10 years after Nobody's Fool.
Correct, correct. And just wonderful. It's a made-up town of North Bath, New York, and it's, you know, three main characters. You have Sully, who Paul Newman played in the movie. And he has hit his jackpot. He hit the trifecta twice. His landlady left him his house. Life is good. He's in his 70s. And it deals with him, his best friend, Rub, who is also – the dog's name is also Rub, so it makes it a little confusing. And his arch nemesis, who is the chief of police. And this is just – it's a funny, quirky book. The chief of police is obsessed. His wife, beautiful wife, has died in an accident, and he finds a remote control in her car to a garage. And he figures that she was getting ready to leave him, and whoever the person she was getting ready to leave with, that is the remote to their garage. And so he goes around town clicking remote at garages, trying to figure out who it is. And it's just – it is absolutely delightful. Russo based this on his father. And I think he just wanted to revisit his dad.
This is about people well beyond middle age, which the other book was about, we just talked about. But in fact, one writer described the characters in the first book as a beat-up cast of variously broke, overweight, senile, adulterous, dissolute, and philosophical citizens of a ruined resort town living out their luckless lives between a bar and a diner. Yeah. How has that changed?
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. Maybe a few more ailments, maybe a few more creaks and groans, but they're still trying to find love and happiness. And it's just, it is laugh out loud funny. He loves to entertain. And Russo is just, he's delightful. He's absolutely delightful. And he said that he thinks that everybody in his book would definitely vote for Trump. So.
The book takes place quickly. It takes place over 2 days.
2 days.
But you described it as a page turner. You don't want to turn those pages too fast, or you'll run out of book.
Because it's just 2 days, but they're jam-packed 2 days full of everything. You have a snake bite, a building collapsing. It's just – there's too much to list.
As I said, this is a sequel to Nobody's Fool, which came out in 1993. Should you read Nobody's Fool first?
You do not have to at all. If you just want to jump into this book, Russo is like the gifted novelist. He lets you know what you need to know to enjoy this book.
If you like this book, if you start with this book and you like it, can you go back to the first book without going, oh, I already know all this stuff?
No, I think you could go back to the first book. I mean, he doesn't reveal any surprises from the first one. And then you get to meet the landlady who leaves him the house. And so I don't think it would ruin anything at all.
That's a book called Everybody's Fool by Richard Russo. John Hart's Redemption Road is next, and it takes place right here in North Carolina. Is that why it's on the list?
Well, John Hart is one of my favorites. He's from Salisbury, North Carolina, and he hit a grand slam out of the ballpark with his first book. And he has won back-to-back Edgar Awards. Every book that he has written has made the New York Times bestseller list. He is a delightful, delightful human being. As he said, he used to fly helicopters and man small boats in the ocean. And now he has gone to writing, which he says is scarier but safer. And if you like a thriller, this is the gentleman for you. This deals with three main protagonists. You have a policewoman who is under investigation for shooting some victims, mm-hmm. Two of them. A policeman that's just gotten out of prison, 10 years in prison for shooting a woman. And the 10-year-old son of a – or 13-year-old son of the woman who was killed by this policeman. And you look at the three of them, and then there's also a serial killer. So if you need a little more action going on there.
Something for everybody.
Something for everybody. But he's a very good writer. Sometimes when I'm reading a thriller, I'll go, ooh, that's incorrect grammar, or poor sentence structure. Where was the editor? Not so with John.
Okay. John Hart's Redemption Road. It's off to the 1950s and Texas, or After Party by Anton, is it Disclafani?
Disclafani, yes.
Disclafani. It's a follow-up to her first book, which was a bestseller, dealing with two lifelong friends who are part of the Tony Houston set. They have money, they have marriages, suitable marriages, it was described as luxury and A Dark Secret.
Yes, these are two women that have been friends since childhood. It's the 50s in Houston, and you can smell the money crackling. You can smell the cigarette smoke.
This is oil money, right?
Oh, this is oil money, and they're throwing it everywhere. And this is a delicious period piece. I would be very surprised if this wasn't not turned into a movie.
And The Dark Secret, can you talk about The Dark Secret?
Oh, I can't talk about The Dark Secret. But this is, you have one of the friends who has money, looks, everything, and the other friend who is the devout friend who is concerned with doing everything right, whereas the Tony friend just wants to live life the way she wants to live it. And of course, it's the 50s, so you're supposed to do things in a certain way. And Joan doesn't think you have to do things that way. She wants to be the wild child, and Cece, her best friend, is trying to reel her back in.
She's trying to get to the 60s.
Exactly.
So that's called After Party, and just as that was said in the mid-20th century, so is the next book, Larry Watson's As Good As Gone. It's set in 1960s, Montana.
Montana, and this is just such a wonderful book. The main character, Calvin, comes back from World War II with a wife, happily married, and then she dies unexpectedly, and he just takes, a left turn and goes off and becomes a ranch hand, even though his family business is very successful. Years later, his son contacts him because his wife is having a medical emergency and he needs somebody to stay with his two children. And so Calvin comes back and he is the grumpy old cowboy, and you just fall in love with him and the situation and the circumstance.
It was described by someone as fine writing in the grand Western tradition of William Kittredge and Mark Sprague. Is that how you would describe
Absolutely.
It?
If you're a fond of Jim Harrison, reading about the West, reading about that lifestyle, you will just embrace this.
But, when we think about, at least when I think about the West, I think about the West of 100 years prior to 1960. We're talking about the West of the 19th century. So is this still the same kind of Western novel?
It really is. It really is. Because, when we say the West was settled, it was settled very slowly. And mm-hmm. It took a certain type of person to live there. And so this is it really does evoke the time and place. And then the main character, Calvin, is just – he's an icon. He is – the American Cowboy.
Okay. Up next, Lessons from the Sand, family-friendly science activities that you can do on a North Carolina beach by Charles O. Pilkey. I'm going to make a leap here. This is not a novel.
It's not a novel. But I've been taking this book everywhere with me this summer.
Really?
I am not joking. I've been taking it to book clubs. Anywhere I go, I've been taking this book because I am in love with it.
Well, it's a softback, and there's a drawing illustration on the cover, and the kids in the illustration don't look unlike the kids in Sea Spot Run.
I think they're a little more diverse.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me about this. This is exactly what the title makes it sound like, things to do?
It is. It is family-friendly activities to do on the beach. It's done by the University of North Carolina Press, and they have just done a wonderful job. This book is just not for kids. It could be for 80-year-olds, 50-year-olds. This tells you everything about the beach, how to read the sand, how to read the wildlife there, the stars, the constellations, science experiments.
How to read the sand?
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, when you read the sand, what do you learn? About where it came from? What it's comprised of?
What the weather was above. It talks about beach replenishment and the pros and cons of it.
That's pretty dry.
The cons are really, it's amazing what damage replenishment does to the beach.
Really?
And it talks about that. It was so interesting. I've been going to the beach every year of my life for more than 50 years, and the stuff that I found out in this book that I didn't know is just amazing.
So it's not just for kids, even though kids are on the cover.
It's just not for kids.
But it relates to children. It has information in that.
Will have your kids doing science experiments galore. If you take this to the beach with you, I can guarantee your kids will be out there with buckets. It gives you list of things to take. The murder mystery, how to discover who killed that clam. It's a wonderful book.
Okay, Lessons from the Sand. That's the short version of the title. Here's some books that have not come out yet. They're about to come out this summer. Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. It's coming out, what, July, August, somewhere?
It's coming out the end of July.
And speaking of science, it's about a scientist on the verge of a breakthrough, but his life suddenly takes a different turn. A novel?
It is a science fiction novel. So if you're a fan of sci-fi, this is Blake Crouch, who did the Wayward Pine series. He has a great, interesting, bizarre mind. And if you are science-minded, you will love this book.
I'm told you need an understanding of Schrodinger's cat, which is both dead and alive at the same time.
At the same time. And this book will help explain that if it's confusing to you. But it really is.
Why would that be confusing? Who will this book appeal to? Young people? Older people? Who?
Oh, science fiction lovers are, you know, wide flung. You don't have to not like science fiction, though, to enjoy this book, because it's the what if. What if I didn't marry this person and went off and pursued this career? What if I met somebody else and did this? But it is revolves around the main character is a scientist who picks the family life, and his friend sort of sets him up. And he wins the prize that Jason thinks he should have won, and then, boom, an alternate world occurs.
So I called this cool reading for hot summer days, and this next book qualifies for that. We only have 30 or 45 seconds left. But on the 5th of July, Blair Braverman's Welcome to the GD Ice Cube. I'm abbreviating that. Welcome to the GD Ice Cube, Chasing Fear and Finding Homes in the Great White North. This is nonfiction too, right?
This is nonfiction. This is a memoir. She grew up in California but was always loving the cold. So she goes off to Norway as an exchange student, falls in love with the cold, the ice. She ends up going from the south to the north, the differences between the north and south. She ends up being a sled runner in Alaska. So you can shiver a little bit while you're sweating to death this summer.
Yeah, and if you want to sweat, you can go to rural Mississippi in the 1950s or the early 20th century and read Brad Watson's Miss Jane, which is about a woman suffering with a life-altering birth defect, which I'd never heard of, but actually exists.
It does, and it's based on his aunt in real life. His aunt had this defect, and it's a fascinating book that you will love.
Sally Brewster from Park Road Books. All of the books that we have talked about are listed on our website at wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Charlotte Talks.